Sound check? Too loud? Too quiet?
You're good.
Perfect. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's a little bit loud, isn't it? It may be down a little bit because I'll tend to get louder. Boy, I had a very interesting morning as I was going through this, thinking about today. Let me steal this. This goes higher, right? Do I twist? Oh. Very interesting morning, actually. I found myself weeping. I was here late. I was actually supposed to help greet this morning. But as I was looking at what God showed me, it just really touched me this morning. So today's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Show of hands to all the mothers. I'm not a mother, so I can't raise my hand. How many mothers do we have here? Lots, almost everybody. We're going to touch on that today. Just spend a couple minutes. I really appreciate Pastor Ryan. How many of us appreciate Pastor Ryan? Amen. Let's give him a round of applause. Thank you. I'm so honored and blessed to be able to give him a day off, you know, to come up here and share what God's put on my heart. Just something that I've really been enjoying and chewing on. I hope you guys enjoy it as well. But I did want to thank Pastor Ryan. We moved to Ione, as some of you may know. So we're up here about half of the time now. We still have a place up here, but we live in Ione. So we're up here about half of the month. And one thing that I appreciate is every time I come, I'm going to get a good meal from Pastor Ryan. And I'll tell you, it takes a lot of work to prepare to speak, you know, for 30 minutes. He usually goes a little extra. He gives us an extra 10 minutes. So I know he put a lot of extra man hours in there. And somewhere behind the scenes is his wife, Aubrey, and she's managing their 16 kids. So, you know, it takes two to get this done, but we do appreciate that. But last week's message was really powerful to me. The section that really touched me was in verse 24 of Luke chapter 13, where it says, strive to enter the narrow gate. And when I think of striving, I think of like striving, like that's like I'm trying to do something that's difficult. Like that was kind of scary for me to process, you know, as I was thinking about that word strive. Of course, the Lord has done all the work for us. So the striving is really, it's our ability to receive. How many of us know it's difficult to receive grace? It's actually difficult for us to receive Christ's love. So we're going to spend some time talking about that today. In particular, somebody that knew it quite well and wrote about it a lot. So this will be a little bit different than a normal go through a passage. We're going to talk about John. And a couple of weeks ago, it was brought to my attention by a fellow brother that there's five times in the book of John, the Gospel of John, where John refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And for some reason, it never registered in my brain that was actually John describing himself in that way. And I thought, wow, that is quite interesting. Was it his ego that he would say that? What was it? And so I began exploring that, and that just opened up a whole world to me that I've been sharing with anybody that will listen. And this morning you guys are stuck here listening to us. So hopefully you enjoy it as much as I do. So John referred to himself five times as the disciple whom Jesus loved. John wrote four books of the Bible. He wrote the Gospel of John, and he wrote 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, letters to the churches in the book of Revelations. And when you read all of those, what you'll see is a theme of John had an understanding that Christ brings life. And John had a thorough understanding that Christ is love and brought love and felt loved through him. So much that he was able to say it and describe himself in that way. So I want to just kind of walk through those different times. So the first occurrence, the first occurrence is at the Last Supper. That's found in John chapter 13 and verse 23. There was reclining on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. So y'all remember the account of the Last Supper, right? Jesus said, "I eagerly desire to eat this meal with you before the time." And they had this intimate gathering. And the disciple John was reclining on Jesus. So you can picture they sat on the floor and had short tables then or whatever, you know, but he was reclining on him. And I wondered, well, could Peter have reclined on him? Could one of the other disciples have reclined on him? Sure, of course. But John decided that he was going to lean in. Then we see the second occurrence in the book of John in chapter 19, verse 26. This was when Jesus was on the cross. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom Jesus loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the other disciple, "Behold your mother." From that hour, the disciple took her into his... his own household. Let's pause there for a second and look at that. So Jesus is on a cross, excruciating pain. And he looks down and he sees his mother and Mary Magdalene and John. And this spiritual transference takes place. The interesting thing is, the last time that Jesus called her a woman was in the second chapter of John. Right? At the party, they ran out of wine. Actually, it was a wedding. Right? They ran out of wine. And they approached Jesus, and Jesus says this. I didn't capture this in my notes. I saw this morning. In verse 4 of chapter 2, "And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, what does this have to do with us? My hour has not come yet.' His mother said to the servants, 'Whatever he says, do it.'" Now he's on the cross, and he says to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And he says to John, "Behold your mother." I wonder what was her prayers before she heard that? She's a mother, right? She would have been praying, "Get him down off of this cross. Do this, do that," right? She would have wanted him to come down from there. But Jesus reminded her through this that he loved her and cared for her. And he's Almighty God, right? So when he says, "Woman, behold your son," that's different than when I say it. That's different. It's special. And the first time he said that in John chapter 2 was a wedding. Jesus was consummating the wedding through his blood on the cross. That was the consummation of his love for us. She would have thought about that. She would have thought about that wedding. She would have thought about the wine. She would have thought about the words at the Last Supper. And that would have been very special for her. So Jesus, in his last moments, cared for his mother. What a wonderful example for all of us. He cared for her spiritually. He saw her suffering. He went through the painful death on the cross. But he cared for her physically by giving her a new son. The third example in John is when Mary Magdalene found the empty tomb and went to tell the disciples. John 20, verse 2. "So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to him, They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. The fourth example was after Christ's death. If you remember, the disciples went back to their normal jobs. They said, well, I guess this is over. I guess we're going to go back to our normal jobs. Peter had lied and said that he didn't know Jesus. He was afraid of a little girl. And, he denied Jesus three times. And so he went back to being a fisherman. So Jesus came and installed them back to work. So that account is in John chapter 21, verse 7. And they didn't even recognize him, actually. If you remember the story, Jesus said, why don't you put your net on the other side of the boat? And then John saw him and recognized him in verse 7 of chapter 21. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. John saw Jesus. John knew Jesus. And Jesus knew him. He recognized him. Something in his spirit caused him to recognize Jesus where the others didn't. The fifth time it's mentioned is in John chapter 21, verse 20. Jesus had restored Peter and was discussing the future of them and their need to follow him in verse 19. But in verse 20, Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who had leaned back on the bosom at the Last Supper and said, Lord, who is the one who will betray you? So why did John refer to himself in this way? Well, there's a few different thoughts, but this was written after the events, right? So this was his account of the gospel of Jesus Christ after it happened. So he had already seen the death on the cross. He had already seen all the miracles. He had already been given revelation, and he was writing these things down as the Spirit led him of what was in his heart. John knew Christ, and he was loved, is loved, and knew that he was loved, and he loved Christ. He leaned in. John leaned in. As I said earlier, I believe any of the disciples could have leaned in. I've never experienced a time in my life where I leaned into Christ and I felt some pushback. Has anybody? That doesn't happen. As much as you want to have, he's got for you. Could it be that he didn't want to distract from Christ so that he didn't even want to have his name in the same sentence? So that everything was pointing to Christ and not to John and his participation and his leaning on Christ. It was about Christ. So his name maybe doesn't even matter. I thought, what if I changed my business card to take my name off and simply say, the disciple who Jesus loved or loves. Can I say loved? Yes, I can say loved. I can say past tense. So I want to talk about a couple verses just to make sure that we all know that we can have that exact same love that John experienced, that John felt, and that John communicated to us. John 3:16, you all know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. John 13:34 through 35, a new command I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. John 15:9, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you, abide in my love. That's pretty inclusive to all of us, isn't it? John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. That there's a word, rejoice. That's a very interesting word to me, rejoice. Because joyce doesn't mean anything by itself, right? It's joy. But to rejoice is to remember things that give you joy. So every day when we wake up and we remember Christ's love and the joy that He has for us, we can rejoice and receive that love. It's a matter of a simple word of calling on the Lord. Lord Jesus, abide in me. First John 4, 7 through 10, John writes to the church, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not know love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation of our sins." Revelations 1, 4 through 5. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace and peace to you from Him who is and who was and is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to Him who loves us and released us from our sins by His blood. Amen. Amen. I am a disciple who Jesus loved. I am a disciple who Jesus loved, but I can use past tense. Ephesians 1:4 says we were chosen before the foundation of the earth. So I can use past tense. It's past, present, future. I am a disciple who Jesus loved. If you guys are comfortable, I'd like you to say that with me. I am a disciple who Jesus loved. I am a disciple who Jesus loves. We could look to the person to your right and tell them, "You are a disciple who Jesus loved." Yeah. And look to the left. "You are a disciple who Jesus loved." That is our identity, actually. That's our identity. It's not what I do for work. It's actually that is my identity. I was chosen before the foundation of the earth to be a disciple because He loved me. That's everything. That's why John described himself in that way, I believe, is because that's everything. That's everything. Something that impacted me last week, Pastor shared a story about a mother, an older mother, who wondered, and I think we all do, did we let our children know how much Jesus loves them? Did we teach them that enough? That's something that really impacted me, and I think I can do a better job. I think we can all do a better job. But what I realized as I was processing this week is, the amount that I will be able to transmit that is proportional to the amount that I receive it. So I need to continue to tell myself, I am a disciple who Jesus loved. So I'm going to get business cards for everybody that says disciple who Jesus loves. I was talking to a young man recently and I was describing what a Christian worldview is. And the Christian worldview can be summed up as, we are disciples whom Jesus loved. Our guide is our Bible, you know, with immovable truths. The world moves around with the wind based on feelings, but we have immovable truths that we can rest on and we can believe in. So as for me, I'm going to work on trying to be a disciple whom Jesus loved. I'm going to work on trying to receive it. I'm going to work on trying to share that with anybody that will listen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for choosing us. Thank you for dying for us, Lord. Thank you for showing us how to care for our mothers, Lord, the way that you did. Lord, bless all the mothers in this room, Lord. Help us to share your love with our children. Help us to be good representation of you, Lord, reflecting your glory. Lord Jesus, thank you for making me a disciple. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen.